Hi, I'm Megan Whitaker, and you are listening to Figuring It Out.
Hey, everyone, and welcome to Figuring It Out, the podcast for millennial women starting online businesses, blogs, and podcasts they love. I'm Melissa Guller, founder of The Kindling. And each week, I interview another amazing woman to learn more about her story, her challenges, and her best actionable tips to help you find your spark. Welcome to another great episode, everybody. This week, I'm so excited to introduce our guest, Megan Whitaker. Megan is a former nurse turned holistic living expert and health coach. After reversing her autoimmune disease naturally, she started Going Crunchy, Not Crazy to help families go non-toxic with a 2.5-year-old and 3-month-old in tow. Her newborn went with her to meet attorneys, get business licenses, and is often nursing while mom takes calls. So Megan, I'm so excited to welcome you to the show.
Thank you so much. I'm glad to be here.
So first off, I'd love to know, how did you first think of the idea for your business?
So I had been a kind of crunchy person for a few years, but I was a nurse and I was very stuck in the medical model. But when I got pregnant, that really all went out the window. I say that I like went down the crunchy rabbit hole and all of my crunchy tendencies really exploded. And I knew that after my daughter was born, I just didn't want to go back to full-time nursing. So I started slow, like most of us do. I had imposter syndrome real bad. So I started like a little bitty blog and I spent hours, and I mean hours, on one of those name generating sites, like trying to come up with everything that I could possibly think of for a blog name.
And, I've been on so many of those.
Oh my gosh, I had like a page of like, this name is taken and this name is taken. And at the end of the day, like I was trying to think of something and I had been kind of meanly called crunchy a few days before. And I was like, you know, I'm crunchy, I'm not nuts. And I kind of went down that path until I got to Going Crunchy, Not Crazy. And I was like, that's it. That's me.
And for maybe listeners who are new, what does crunchy mean?
Yeah. So I didn't know actually until recently that this wasn't something that everybody knew, but I have found out recently that not everybody knows that crunchy actually comes from the word like granola. Like they used to make fun of hippies saying that they were crunchy granola hippies. So it literally is kind of a derogatory term for somebody who's a hippie.
Oh, that's so funny that it came from granola.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yep. It actually comes from crunchy granola.
So what is Going Crunchy, Not Crazy all about?
It is walking the line between alternative health and like woo-woo sort of practices and really hard science and conventional healthcare. I want people to get natural and take control of their wellness while still having a scientific backing and without feeling like you are overcome with too much information and lack of scientific research.
And then once you had started, you found your name, you got your baby blog up, how did you find your first customers?
So I had this little bitty blog that I almost never wrote on because I had a baby for 2 years. And then I had a second baby and she got very sick. And right after we got home from the hospital, I felt this need to do something bigger. And I decided I was going to get a business license. I was going to officially get my health coaching certification. And I jumped all in. And I had probably 50 or 60 people on my email list. I mean, really, I had put very little effort in at that point. But with 2 kids, I decided was the perfect time to jump all in to a business. And I really hit the ground running. And because I had been a nurse, I used that to get a few speaking engagements around town and then drove people to my site that way. So I actually went out and did like health fairs and things. And that has been the best way that I have found, because I mean, I'm a talker. I like to educate, and meeting one-on-one with people and getting them to know and trust me first before I drive them online has been the best thing that I've done.
So you go and you speak, and then what? How do people then stay in touch with you or find you afterwards?
Yeah. So I've done a lot of conferences. And so sometimes you just go and you talk. And so, at the end of my talk, I hand something out, or, I'll tell them to go back to my website or to my Instagram, and I can funnel them through there. But often I will have a table or something at an expo or a health fair or a conference, and talk to people that way and get them signed up for my email list or hand them material physically.
And out of curiosity, what does it take to get an expo table? Because being a speaker feels like it might take, effort. You might have to have a connection. You might have to apply. But what about an expo? How do you get involved there?
That's a very easy way to start. So a lot of the expos and health fairs, and even some things like the state fair, I mean, really anything that has booths, typically allow companies to come in and for a small price buy a space, and that you can sell, you can talk, you can kind of do whatever from that space. So things like a health expo, typically it's going to be a few hundred dollars for an all day or an all weekend event, and you have access to hundreds, if not thousands, of people.
That's such a great tip, and actually not something I've heard before, because like you said, you can get in front of people and really earn their trust in a way that spending, let's say, a couple hundred bucks on Facebook ads is really never going to compare to that in-person connection.
I think in-person, especially if you are an online business, is the way to go when you are starting out, because you really only need 5 or 10 people to see you in person to get to the site and then tell people, oh, check out this site, I met her. And you already have so much more authority in their mind just by having them meet you and know, she was so nice, she was so smart, the product was great, I touched it, I spoke with her. And that goes so far in a world where everybody is selling something behind a screen.
That's such a great point about the way that it makes you feel more authentic, or the fact that it's not just the one person you're selling, but the word of mouth that that person is going to give you even far beyond you leave, because you built a real connection with them, something that sticks in their memory, again, in the way that just something online can't quite compare.
Absolutely. When I want to buy something or when I need a service, typically I'm going to either think of somebody that I've met, try to think of someone that I already know that does it, or I'm going to ask my friends if they have ever used someone, known someone, met someone. And my last place that I'm going to go is anonymously online. So I have found that getting even very small expos or small speaking gigs in person has been just huge for my numbers.
And like you said, you don't need a huge amount of people in this case, because the in-person connection is so powerful that you really just need a handful in order to get a customer or two.
Absolutely.
So you're doing the expos. That's how you mentioned you got your earlier customers. How has your business grown since then? So how has it evolved over time, and what does it look like now?
So once I started speaking, I realized, honestly, it was so much easier for me to do speaking engagements than it was for me to be putting out blog post after blog post and doing, making images, putting them around social media. There is so much time and energy that takes, whereas it's a lot easier for me to prep for a conference. So at this point, my blog has kind of gone by the wayside, and I am focusing so much more on speaking that now I have launched a podcast, and the podcast really has sort of taken over where my blog stopped. Especially as a mom, I can hold a baby and nurse and podcast, and that is much easier for me. I also don't have to edit as much in a podcast. When I'm writing something, I may know a lot about the topic, but it takes a lot more time to physically do a post and do SEO and do all of that back end, where when I start talking, I can't stop talking. I can educate forever. So that has been a great outlet for me, that I found that this is really the platform for me. I don't think I would have gone down that path had I not tried speaking and so enjoyed it. I knew then that I've been listening to podcasts for so long. I thought, this is obvious. This is obviously the path that I need to take.
Yeah, I think you're hitting on something so important, which is, you like talking, you like educating, you felt comfortable, and that it was easier for you to prep for a conference or to run a podcast. in the way that I'm sure that for a lot of people, the opposite is true, that blogging is easier and writing feels more comfortable for them. And all of which to say, there's not really a right choice, but
no, I just found my zone.
Mm-hmm, exactly. You found your zone. You found what worked for you. And importantly, you didn't try to focus on doing all of it. You found the ones that you enjoyed and that you felt fit into your lifestyle as a mom or the fact that you like speaking and pursued those instead of trying to do it all.
Absolutely. And in every niche, there are conferences and expos. So, you know, for me, there are a lot of health fairs, there are a lot of natural living expos, and there are a lot of parenting conferences. And so that has been huge. But I mean, there are blogging conferences and podcasting conferences, and every niche has an in-person market too. And even if you are a blogger and like maybe talking isn't your go-to, getting in front of people and just being able to get them physically on your list to then drive them to your blog is going to be huge.
I will also add that it feels like blogging is the advice everybody's giving on the internet. You should have a blog no matter who you are. Do this. Blogging is a great way to get your name out there. SEO, blah, 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 buzzwords. But I teach in-person courses, and I think what you get in person at a conference, an expo, is feedback. When somebody comes up and talks to you, you can hear about what they're looking for, what their pain points are, how you can help them in a way that, frankly, blogging, you just can't do.
I think I have 100,000 views on my website, and I have about 20 comments.
In total across the whole site?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, people don't comment. I mean, you can do a lot of things to get people to comment if you need comments, but just random strangers coming to your site and commenting is fairly rare and hard to come by. But when I do a talk, people will come up and ask me questions. And then I know what I've left out, what people still need information on, you know, what things really resonated, where my blog comments don't tell me anything. Maybe it says like, great post.
Right. Like you're saying, I think my mental math is right here. Takes you 5,000 views to get one comment on your site. And even then, it's not really a back and forth. It's just kind of a one way, here's what I thought about this. It's not likely that many people engage in extensive comment threads on the internet that you could find beneficial as a businesswoman.
Even on Instagram, I find people comment significantly more on Instagram, but it's still such a small percentage of your engagement. And again, they're saying things like nice picture or, oh, I need to try that out. Occasionally, I get people saying, I have never heard of this product. Can you tell me more? Where can I get it? How did you use it? But it is few and far between. But when I get somebody in person, even for if it's, you know, for 30 seconds at a conference, you know, that's happening 7, 8, 9, 10 times a day. And that is so much more than I'm getting on my Instagram or on my site.
That's such a great point. And I've really never thought about this in this way. So I feel like I'm, you know, furiously taking notes along with listeners. But something that I've noticed about Instagram or comments on any website is I would never post most of my actual thoughts on Instagram. Like even if I read something about a new digital marketing strategy, I'm not going to post all my insecurities about why I'm not doing it or my hesitations. But if I'm talking to somebody in person, I really have no issue saying, oh, I don't know about that because would it really work for me here? And then having them reassure me that something might be a good fit. So I'm much more open and descriptive one-on-one in person than I would ever be in a comment that the entire internet could read.
I think people believe that the internet is so anonymous, that it is so safe and you can say whatever and do whatever. And that is true to a certain extent, but you don't get familiarity and you don't get intimacy like you do one-on-one. And you don't have to be a great public speaker or the most extroverted person. You know, you just have to be willing to talk to a person for 30 seconds or a minute.
I love that. I think breaking it down and even saying it, that it's only 30 seconds or a minute of talking to somebody, hopefully might be a relief for listeners because we're not suggesting you need to have like intimate hour-long conversations with these people. It's just a little snippet of conversation.
And you know, and you don't have to, you know, go to conferences and give a keynote address. I'm doing one on Saturday and I'm doing a 15-minute TED Talk. And, you know, it's going to be so fast, like I'm trying to figure out what not to say. And and then I have a booth for the rest of the day. People can come up and ask me questions. And I learned early on that I should always take my husband or my sister or somebody else with me because they have different skills than I do. I'm very, very good at chatting once I get a person in front of me. I am not so good when people are walking by to be like, hey, come see my booth. My sister has that skill and my sister can wrangle people to me. And so, you know, you don't have to stand there alone either, even if it's just your business or even if it's just, you know, your blog. You know, you're allowed to have other people that aren't on your business or your blog to be standing back there with you too.
I love that idea. Even just knowing that you might be good at one or the other, like maybe some business people listening to the call, they are good at the wrangling, but then maybe they don't want to give a pitch, or maybe they have even just a friend who would be willing to come and help out and they just don't want to stand alone. They want to feel like they have a partner. They're not just kind of a solo operation. I think that's a great tip to just bring somebody along and bring some complementary skill sets.
I find it to be very isolating and extremely overwhelming to be the only person in my business. Mm-hmm. You know, I am my whole business, and that I'm not a great marketer. I am not a great many things. Luckily, I have a wonderful husband who used to be in recording who can edit my podcast for me, because I'm pretty sure that I would never have figured out how that works. So, you know, I have been lucky enough to steal other people's greatness and kind of bring it into my business too. But it's so isolating to just be behind a screen in any online business, that getting out there and realizing like these are your customers and these are your people, and these people want what you know and want what you have. You just have to give it to them.
Mm-hmm. Well said. And since we're on this topic too of how isolating it feels, are there any other ways or, you know, suggestions you might have for listeners who are also feeling isolated, getting either started or starting to grow their own online business or blog or podcast?
I think the best thing that I did, I did this when my daughter turned about like 3 months old. So I wasn't planning on leaving my house for a while. I wasn't able to leave my house for a while. And I became a like free seminar junkie. There are so many really amazing, talented people out there that have incredible courses on everything that you need to know and everything that you are not already good at. And just binge learning as much as you possibly can is my top tip. Like, you'll never have enough education, in my opinion. But there are some insanely talented people in marketing, in SEO, in web design, in building. And a lot of that information is free or not that expensive. And I would say that the best thing that I did was I hunkered down, and I am not a particularly patient person, but I took about 6 months to really learn everything that I needed to learn about the legal aspects of starting a business, how to protect myself, as because I'm a health coach, but I used to be a nurse. So there's all kinds of like legal drama there. You know, I found a lawyer. I did all those things slowly and with as much information as I possibly could, so that when I decided to launch and when I had launched, I was covered and I was as professional as I could possibly be.
And when you took all of those courses, either marketing or about the legal realm, are there any in particular you would recommend to listeners?
Lisa Fraley is a legal coach. And she typically deals with health coaches, but she talks a lot about like website disclaimers and contracts and how to make sure that like your language and your intellectual property is safe. And I think that, you know, anybody in a online business really needs to make sure that they're as compliant as they can possibly be on their site and with their copy. Because, you know, anybody can steal something on the internet. And so it's really important, I think, to be covered in that area. So it's Lisa Fraley is her name.
Awesome. I'll find a link and include it in the show notes. And one more question I do have about that. How early do you think people need to be worrying about all this legal stuff?
If you have your name and something that you have written on a website, you should have disclaimers and you should have a copyright. And, you know, those things, they're easier to get than you think. It's not, doesn't have to be expensive. Doesn't even have to cost you any money. Just your intellectual properties is yours. So make sure that it stays yours.
So basically ASAP.
Yeah. If you have something written, you know, cover your butt.
Yeah. Cover your butt. Always a good idea. Well, we touched a little bit on the challenges, but I do really want to dive in a bit more there because it's not easy starting an online business. And I think too often in today's world of social media and the internet, it's easy to just see the good stuff. So can you tell us a bit more about what you would say is maybe the single biggest challenge you've faced so far in your online business or the biggest lesson you've learned so far?
For me, patience. Like I said, I'm not the world's most patient person. Having two kids significantly slows down my progress. You know, I just can't work on my business all day. I'm really lucky if I can work on my business for an hour or two every day, to be honest. So that has been my personal hurdle that one, I don't physically have the time to do this, but two, I have to be okay with it. And that's really hard. Like I have to be okay with slow growth right now. I have to walk before I run. And I'm still, I don't know if you can tell by my tone of voice, I'm still coming to terms with that one.
Well, how have you managed to at least slow down a little bit? Are there any strategies, resources, books, anything that's been helpful for you?
I do try to be as mindful and to meditate as much as possible. I'm terrible at it. It's why I say I try, but I do. And I go back and I like to look at my progress. I don't know if that sounds silly or sad, but I will go back and look at like what my numbers were and what my bank account was 6 months ago, you know, last week even. But I like to see that there is growth. There has been growth since day one. And I just have to go back and remind myself that I may not be, you know, at a $5,000 a month, you know, every month, but there is growth every month. And going back and reminding myself of that has been the way that I've been getting through it.
I think that's a great suggestion to stay grounded because in the moment, it's easy to feel like you should always be doing more or be further ahead or to be impatient and just kind of wish you were one step further. But if you do look back and see over the last month or 6 months how far you've come, I think that could help listeners feel grounded and like their work and their effort is paying off and growing over time. I love that suggestion.
I know that people will say over and over again that everybody starts somewhere, but it is true. I mean, you know, no Instagram celebrities started with 100,000 followers, but it's really easy to get super discouraged when it seems like every single person that you see has so many more people than you do or so many more followers or whatever it is that is your benchmark. And I have to remember that all the people that I look up to started too. And actually, I love this woman blogger named Mama Natural. She's somebody that I listened to and loved when I was pregnant. And every once in a while, I'll go back and look at one of her early videos. And I'm like, yes. Yes, you really were starting out not knowing what you were doing and just doing this for fun. Like she didn't mean to start a business. And I like to remember that.
Mm-hmm. I think a lot of the successful bloggers, podcasters, businesswomen I follow, or even YouTubers, they'll watch back their first YouTube video and like cringe about that very first piece of, you know, content or whatever that they created. And I think what's important and useful for me there is you should release something originally that is just finished. And hopefully later on in years, when you look back, you'll cringe too because you've come so far.
My podcast is new and I had the privilege of meeting this man named Dave Jackson, who is a podcast coach and he runs a school. And I'd been listening to him for a while and I met him and he was talking about like, it's so important just to launch your first episode. People get so in their head about making it perfect. Like just put it out into the world, just put it out into the world. And so I recorded something and I put it out into the world. And he was like, you are going to hate this in a year. Like you're going to hate it. But it's okay. Mm-hmm. That's fine. He's on episode like 600 and something. He was like, I hate mine. He's like, I hate number 400. Like you're going to hate it. And that's okay.
I would say it's even a good thing. If you've made it 100 episodes and you're as proud of episode one as you are of episode 100, to me, that would say that I haven't grown that much.
Absolutely.
And even my podcast is still very new. I'm in season two. And my first season actually had a slightly different theme. I was talking just about things ambitious millennials are facing in life, in relationships, in business. And then I chose to get more specific to talk about women starting online businesses. And it's tough because I'm still just constantly learning, but you have to just go with it. You have to just do it and put it out there and trust that in time it will unfold.
That's another thing I'm going to quote Dave Jackson again. He talks about that your podcast isn't a statue, but I think that that is really true for all online business. Like, you know, your business is not a statue. It is okay to pivot. It is okay to change your mind. Like, you own this. Change your name, change your brand. Like, if it isn't working, switch. It's fine. It's not a failure. It's growth.
I love that. Your business is not a statue. That's such a powerful way to frame it. Well, before we go, I do want to wrap up with just some what's coming up for you and a little bit of inspired action for our listeners. So what is next for you? What are your big goals and what are you working on next?
All right, I'm going to tell you the big goal because it's time for me to put it out into the universe, even though who knows if it'll ever happen. There is a big goal of me actually writing something that becomes book form. So that is the 1 year plan, depending on how well my children are behaved. But over the next several months, I have 4 or 5 expos coming up. I hope you can't hear my husband coming in and out taking care of my children.
I mean, even if you can, that's life. This is how it's working out.
Yeah. Like when I said I'm a mommy business, like it's real. I've got a teething baby and a sleeping toddler. So yeah, I've got 4 expos coming up and I am in episode 10 of my podcast. So we are still in the baby phase and I plan 15 more before the end of the year.
That's very exciting. So you've got podcasts, you've got books, you've got expos. You've definitely got a lot to keep you busy, let alone the fact that you've got these babies around.
Yeah. I don't like to be bored.
No, I don't either. I can totally relate. All right. Well, let's talk about either a resource like Asana or Canva or a book that you would recommend to listeners who are thinking of starting their own online business, blog, or podcast.
I think that the thing that was the most helpful to me was YouTube. I want everybody to know that there are some really incredible social media marketing and bloggers on YouTube that break down just absolutely everything. And I think I binge watch all of Hey Jen Casey and several other people, but she's the one that pops into my mind. And it was just, I just needed to see another face that was, you know, telling me that there were people out there doing what I was doing. And so I YouTubed myself into believing that I could do this.
Love it. We'll grab a link to her channel in the show notes too. And then one more before we wrap. Who is one businesswoman that you admire and why?
So the businesswoman that I admire, I mentioned her earlier, is Mama Natural. She did not mean to become a businesswoman. She started a YouTube channel to document her pregnancy and now has over 1 million subscribers and several courses and books and was so successful. She moved to Florida and lives on a beach and just is the most humble, down to earth, amazing mom. And I really respect everything that she's done. And so if you are pregnant, Mama Natural is great.
Awesome. Well, before we go, where can people connect with you or continue learning more?
So I am goingcrunchynotcrazy.com. It's also where you can find me on Instagram and podcast is the same name, Going Crunchy Not Crazy, on iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Play for Android.
Perfect. Well, we'll have links to everything in the show notes. And Megan, it's been such a pleasure having you on the podcast.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for joining us this week. You can find links to Megan's business and her social media in the show notes at figuringitoutpodcast.com. I do also have a quick favor to ask before we go. If you enjoyed this episode, and I know I did, I would love if you'd leave us a 5-star review on iTunes. Reviews help iTunes and new listeners know that people are really enjoying the podcast, and I can't thank you enough for your feedback in advance to help us find more great listeners like you. I hope you enjoyed this week's episode with Megan Whitaker. I'm Melissa Guller, and you've been listening to Figuring It Out. See you next week.